Welcome, everyone. This is Kelly Hall with the Longview Chamber of Commerce. This podcast series is brought to you by Barksdale Federal Credit Union. Today, we're going to be talking about the importance of reading to kids through our Longview Reads initiative. There is a special guest in the house today, and his name is LaDarian Brown. So I'm going to turn it over to LaDarian and just have him tell a little bit about himself. We'll talk about how we met and how we started building our relationship as friends and peers in the business community, and then we'll delve into our questions. But first, LaDarian, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, hello, everyone. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you, Kelly, to you and your team for the invitation. As stated, I'm LaDarian Brown. I have the privilege of serving as the Public Information Officer for the Longview Police Department. I'm the Senior Pastor of the Parkview Baptist Church here in Longview. Serve on the Arts Board. I'm on the East Texas Advanced Academies Charter Board, which is a charter network that works with in conjunction with the Longview Independent School District. So, Longview native, been here majority of my life, born and raised here. A proud graduate of Longview High School, class of 2011. We called ourselves the Perfect Ones. That's me.
So when did you graduate from Leadership Longview?
We were the year after COVID was the worst. So I'm going to say 2021. I was the class of 2021.
A lot of transition that year. Back and forth, mask, no mask, the whole works.
And on top of that, I was getting ready to get married during my class.
Right.
So it was it was a busy time for me.
It was. Yeah. And then, so as you're the public information officer of the police department, does that mean you carry a gun?
Oh, yeah. I'm still the police. only difference is I'm the one that's the quote-unquote the face and the voice of the department. So, but trust me, I am still the police.
Well, I'll tell you what. So, LaDarian and I, you know, we met before COVID.
Yeah.
It was before COVID. Both of us have a deep belief system, and both of us engaged in an organization called Transformation Longview. And they set up with table topics. And guess who got to be at the same table?
The two of us.
And what did we recognize pretty quickly?
We were a lot alike.
We are a lot alike. And so we had a lot of fun that year, delving deeper into each other's personal lives, developing our values. You know, how did we develop our value systems, understanding what our values are, what our beliefs are in, who do we belong to? And we just had a lot in common.
We
have a lot of fun together. So another little fun thing, and then we'll get serious about Longview Reads. There was a vacant commercial building that the Chamber of Commerce had leased, and our subtenant had changed the alarm code and forgot to tell us. And it's hot. It's the summer two summers ago, and it must have been 150 outside. And I'm trying to get into this building. I get into the building, but I couldn't get the alarm off. And the police come. Thank goodness you were one of the two officers, because the other dude was going to take me to jail. And all I could think is, oh, little brother, I'm so glad you're here. Because it was a tense day.
Yes.
It was a tense day.
I remember that.
So today we're here to talk about Longview Reads. So Longview Reads started, we officially kicked off in 2023, at asking area organizations and businesses to engage and get their employees, their congregations, their members involved in reading to third graders. Why is that? Is because at that time, 46% of the kids in Longview could not read at the third grade level. It was a staggering number, not much different than the state of Texas, but it's nothing to be proud of. And we know as a state and as a community, what's going to differentiate us in the long term is that our kids can be successful. And that starts with reading and self-confidence and all the things that go with that. Well, Ladarian's church, I'm now transitioned, since we're not going to call him Officer Ladarian, we're going to call him Pastor Brown from this point on. So, Pastor, tell us a little bit about your story in why did your church engage? What was the turning point for you guys, and how did you pick a campus? And tell us a little bit about that relationship.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, I'm a member of the East Texas Advanced Academies board, that charter network. And as one of the things about being on that board, I'm privy to some information that the average person don't get. Those being benchmark tests and test scores and things of that nature. And I started seeing a very bad trend that I did not like. And that consisted of the reading scores that you were just talking about, specifically amongst the black and brown population in our community. And that really vexed my spirit. I'm a firm believer that every church should have a cause, that they should have a burning on the inside of their spirit, something that pushes them to do something. They see an issue and it pushes them to do something about it. And for me, reading instantly became that issue. Simply, why did we pick Ware? That's the campus at that time that I saw that was close to us that was having the biggest issue at that point in time. So it wasn't that we were trying to come in and tell them how to do it. It was just, how can we support you to do it? Miss Faith Newhouse Greer, she was the principal at that time. Okay, she's since been moved to the Montessori campus, but had a sit-down conversation with her on how could we assist her. And so, you know, they came with reward systems and things of that nature, and we, you know, we helped provide certain things for that. It was just a matter of putting our hands on the problem. We knew that we weren't equipped to fix the problem, but how can we support the ones who are equipped to fix the problem? So that's how we got involved, and that's why we picked the campus of Ware Elementary.
So Ware has a history with our organization as well, and it's a unique population, and it changes on a regular basis because of where they are, and those kids need love.
Absolutely.
And they need to experience individuals who are committed to helping them succeed.
Absolutely.
Because they may not see that in their home life, which makes that makes it challenging at times.
Oh, yeah.
So, from your perspective as a pastor, why is literacy such a powerful tool for hope, growth, and opportunity?
I'll never forget when I first became a pastor. And for the record, I didn't want to be one. I didn't. I love being police. I love writing tickets, pulling people over, running up. I enjoyed that. But when I did become a pastor, I try my best to maintain a very broad vocabulary. And I was using words that was confusing the heck out of the people I was preaching to. And I had to realize that there was a certain choice of words I could not use, because you never want to preach to the degree where people don't understand you. They're so focused on the the verbiage, that they miss the message. So if I have the ability to teach, train, and equip young people with the ability to read and broaden their vocabulary and things of that nature, it minimizes that difficulty to be able to communicate more effectively and a little bit better, and not have to use continuously the simplistic end of our vocabulary, but where they can learn more and see more within the English lexicon, to where they know that there's more than just 1,500 words in our language. With that, I think that if you can read, it gives you a sense of confidence to be able to have conversations and to be able to do interviews a little bit more effectively, to communicate a little bit better. So that's where I think that's where it can be a tool of hope, growth, and opportunity, because if you cannot read, if reading is something that you're not able to do, then there's a whole over half of the world that you're never going to be exposed to because of the lack of being able to read.
Excellent.
Does that make sense?
Totally. Totally. And I, you know, what's sad is when you're talking about your congregation, it's all ages.
Correct.
And that it is heart-wrenching when we see adults who want to read to their kids. They desire to do that, but they can't read themselves.
Correct.
And unfortunately, you see that, I see that. It's reality.
Absolutely. And employers, they see it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a struggle for them as well. Because if I have an employee who's unable to read, it's a whole lot that I really can't expect from them. Because they're not able to do certain things because of the lack of the ability to be able to read. Reading, I know it sounds cliche, but it's the truth. Reading is fundamental. If a person cannot read, it hinders them in more than one way throughout their life, and it makes life a heck of a lot more challenging for them. So that's why it's reading is powerful. To where even though you may never step foot on the sands of another country, but if you can read about it, you can understand it or try to.
You can learn how to dream through reading.
Absolutely. As a kid, I remember, and this is going to be bad as a pastor, but one of my favorite things to read was the Harry Potter series. I absolutely loved it. And it was because of the imagination that it activated on the inside of me. And because of my ability to read, it has helped me in preaching and communicating because I'm able to paint pictures a little bit better because I've seen writers do it throughout reading. So
good. Now I'm going to have you put your PD hat back on.
All right.
So as a police officer, you see firsthand, good or bad, the challenges our community faces. How do you connect literacy to crime prevention, public safety, and a stronger neighborhood?
Ooh, that's a good question. and I'm probably definitely the as a PAR officer, a police area representative, that's what we call them. When I was in PAR, one of the things that I had to deal with was crime prevention. Typically, lack of education leads to sometimes a lack of resources. When you don't have certain resources, you go into this survival mode. And you get what you need by any means necessary. So I feel that if a child does not get the concept of reading early on, it's not just English that they're going to fail in. They're not going to be successful in history. They're not going to be successful in math. They're not going to be successful in science or anything else outside of sports, right? Or even some other elements of education. But they're not going to be able to be successful. If they don't get reading early on, college is not an option. Trade school, there's a good possibility that may not be an option. So that leads to a never-ending cycle of participating and getting involved in criminal activity. So if I have a population that no longer is suffering with the lack of literacy, you probably are going to see a vast drop in your crime rate and things of that nature because now they are able to go out and afford what they want versus having to steal what they want. Or I'm not even going to use the word want. In some cases, what they need. So I think that it definitely will minimize crime. It definitely helps with public safety. And anytime you have a minimal amount of crime, you have strong public safety, that just automatically leads to a stronger neighborhood. If we're putting flyers out about certain things, public notices, things of that nature, and they can't read it, it doesn't help them. That's why if you look at most of the stuff that we do at Longview PD, I try to do as much as I can with video. Because people will watch a video all day long, but they will not read a press release. So as a consequence of that, it really ties the hands communication-wise with many entities on how we communicate with our population.
That's interesting. Because, you know, research has shown if you can't read at the end of third grade, the chances of you completing school by the ninth grade just continue to decline every year. So there is no hope for high school completion at that point.
Absolutely.
And that those outcomes are negative. Yeah. And the life choices, and I had never heard it framed as survival, because you're absolutely right. A child goes into survival mode on what's it going to take to survive.
Absolutely.
And they will do whatever it takes, whether it's good or bad. Because they're hungry.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes people don't understand that.
Yeah.
And even in law enforcement, we have to remind ourselves of that. Of course, we're going to enforce the laws. But, you know, people have to understand, well, I say law enforcement, I would say Longview PD. One of the things that we try to do is get to the root cause as to why you did what you did, especially with young people. If why are you in here constantly stealing? And if it leads to hunger, if it's because of hunger or something of that nature, we have resources that can help that person. But a lot of times kids are paying the consequences for something of poor decisions of their parents. And the kids have nothing to do with the decisions that were made. This is just the decision they're born in. It's just like playing a card game. You can only play a game so well based off of the deck that you're given. Some people are just given a bad hand.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. So let's talk about your congregation. We're going to go back to the Pastor Brownside.
Okay. Change your hats, also.
Yeah, it's awesome. So you're back and you're talking to your congregation about the why. Why we believe in reading and we're going to adopt Ware Elementary. How did you recruit the volunteers to engage with the school?
So when I became a pastor at Parkview, I created our education department within our church. And the sole purpose of that was to help kids while they were going through school with school, when they graduated school, where they were going and what that was going to look like for them, whether it was military, whether it was trade school or college, whatever the case may be. I had to establish something within our church to assist with that. So having that education department has opened up so many avenues for our church in the degree what's next? That's kind of the mindset of my education department at Parkview. Okay, what's next? And one day, where was next? That became our deal, and we did that. And we looked at the summer slope. If you ever talk to a teacher, they'll tell you about the summer slope, that they spend the first 6 weeks literally going over what the child should have learned the previous year, but they've forgotten it because the summer they've picked up nothing. They haven't looked at anything educational-wise. They've watched TV, played video games, and whatever the case may be. That's where the summer reading program came from at Parkview, was to help kids with that summer slope, to where they're with us 4 days a week for half a day, and all we're doing is reading, and we're using music to teach reading, and we're using physical activities, to teach about reading. So that's why we started what we did solely with that summer reading program, because too many kids were leaving in May with it, they got it, or because of this god-awful test that they have to take, the issue was pressed and they were, you know, just given. And after the test, no one cared anymore. And so we had to fill that void to where they were constantly learning, constantly sharpening that tool. I mean, if you talk to a weight, a bodybuilder or anything of that nature, they don't quit working out during the summer. They don't take 2 months off from learning or from strengthening themselves. So that's what we had to do with some of the kids, and it's really paid off.
Are there any success stories in your hat? You know, like you could say, I can share about this kid without mentioning names?
There has been several to where the staff has told us the improvements that they're seeing, because you don't just come through our summer reading program and then once the summer reading program's over, we're through with you. Oh no, we're in your business all school year. We're following up with grades and we're coming to the school. You know, my education director, I actually have church members who work at Ware now and things of that nature. So we're constantly following up, and where they start lacking, hey, we come there and we fix it, because now you're one of ours. All the kids aren't members of our church, but they're one of ours. And we've seen test scores go up. We've seen kids get excited about reading now because we've made it fun for them. So there are several successful stories. And I'm not gonna lie, I don't know all those kids by name, but there are quite a few kids who have improved greatly because they're no longer having to deal with the summer slope.
I bet they smile more too.
Discipline. It's really funny you mentioned that. When we first started this, discipline problems were nonstop. Not just with the summer reading program, but with them in the classroom. And that has changed. If I don't understand what the teacher is teaching, I'm bored and I'm going to find something else to do, which leads to trouble. Now these kids are able to sit in a classroom and understand what the teacher's teaching and digest it. Okay. And be able to retain it and apply it. So their discipline issues has gone down drastically.
That's wonderful news. So when you sat down and I showed you some sample questions that we were going to talk through today, Your eye went to one specific, and then you immediately started sharing the story. Question is for our audience, do you have a personal story about the role of reading and how and the impact it's had on your life?
Reading has been everything for me. I mean, I just told you I'm a public information officer, so that's communications. Told you I'm a pastor, so I have to read a lot. With everything that I do, reading has been so important. I would not be the reader that I am today if it was not for Miss Hattie Pollock. Miss Hattie Pollock was my first grade teacher at Hudson Pep Elementary right here in Longview. I still to this day don't know how I got into Hudson Pep. I really don't. I was ADHD all over the place. Miss Pollock, that first grade teacher, took the time out of 20 some odd kids, and she saw I was struggling. She never was the one who said he shouldn't be here at Hudson Pep. This is not the Pep standard. That never was her mindset. Her mindset was, okay, of course she's never said this, but her actions, he's not at the quote unquote Pep standard, but I'm gonna get him there. And she did. I've always been, I'm a church baby. I grew up in church. I was raised with my grandparents. My grandmother was a church usher. My grandfather was a deacon. I've been Sunday school. Every time church was open, I was there. I love church. And my whole world centered around church, or revolved around church. Miss Pollock made me read about church. She would allow me to utilize the Bible for certain reading projects and things of that nature. And of course, other kids thought it was weird. Little did I know at that point in time, God was preparing me for the task that he had later on down the line. But Miss Pollock really took the time out and worked with me, worked with my family. My Aunt Daphne, she's the one that worked at Eastman, worked a 12-hour shift, and then come help me with my homework. And Miss Pollock was adamant about that support system for me to get to where I need to be. Still talk to her to this day, her and her husband, Jim. Typically going to run into them at Golden Chick. That's their favorite place to go. And every time I see her, I buy it. And the reason why I do that, and she hates it, I owe that woman so much. I really do. If we had more educators like Miss Hattie Pollock, I can only imagine what the educational system would look like, honestly.
If we only allowed educators to do what she did for you.
Absolutely.
It would be different too.
I agree.
That is awesome. If you could speak directly to parents And you could tell them how the cow eats the cabbage. That's what we say here in East Texas. If you could tell them how it is and what to do, what would you share with them?
Read to your children.
Why?
Miss Pollock, here I am talking about her again. Miss Pollock stopped me after we had my daughter. My daughter is almost 2 years old. And she told me, you make sure you read to your daughter. And I said, my wife Jillian, she reads all the time. She says, no, you read to your daughter. She said, there's a great significance in the father reading to the child. It carries a different weight psychologically with the child when the father reads to him. Parents have to read to their kids. You have to be involved with the reading of your children because you're helping shape their mind and how they view the world. And if you show an excitement about reading, they will have that eagerness about reading. And even if you can't read, get simple books that you can handle, you know, to read with your kids. But read. That's the biggest thing I can say. Read with your children. Make it a family affair where you all read, or send your kids off to read, and then let's discuss what you read. Turn the tablet off. Turn Netflix off. We cannot continue to allow Coco Melon, Dr. McStuffins, and the rest of the shows to educate our kids. We as parents have to be involved in the learning of our children early on, before they can talk. Before my daughter could even speak, we were reading. And now she's running, tapping through the house, going to find her book, bringing it to me, telling my daddy read, you know, because she loves to read now. And I think my wife put it on Facebook the other day of her reading a book. That's the type of mindset you want to start early on. That way it's not so difficult later on. Starting in the first grade is too late.
That's right.
Starting in third grade is way too late. You have to start early. So read.
We have a great website. It's called longviewreads.com. So if you're an organization, you're an employer, and something that Ladarian has said today has touched your heart, go check out this website, because on the website, it tells you how to engage. It helps you to learn how to engage your employees. It tells you about the elementary campuses in Longview, Texas. It provides you the specific contacts at each campus to reach out to so that you can call and do exactly what Ladarian did for his church. And that is, Principal XYZ, I'd like to have a conversation with you about how our church, how our company, how our organization can lift up the work that you're doing for our kids to help improve third grade reading scores. So I mentioned when we began this journey with our school districts, talking to them about how can we help you. And they said, we need people in our classrooms. We need kids to see people that look like them in our classrooms, reading to them and loving on our children. Then I said, okay, we do that. How do we measure success? What formulas do we need to look at? And every school superintendent said there's only one formula, and that's watching our test scores. Let's fast forward 2 years. We kicked this off in fall of 23. In spring of 25, collectively, the Longview schools' third grade reading scores improved by 8%. That's not because of Longview Reads. I would love to take credit. That's because we're raising awareness. Organizations are bringing this forward. We've got to pour into our kids.
Absolutely.
If we don't pour into our kids, we don't have future employees. And that's why, you know, we're involved, and we're asking you to get involved. Go to longviewreads.com and let's make a difference in these kids' life. We control the future by what we do today. On behalf of Barksdale Federal Credit Union, we thank you for being a part of today's Longview Reads podcast. Until next time, and thank you, Pastor Brown.
Thank you.